Hey, everybody, I'm Andy Weinberg, and welcome to episode 82.
That's a good number.
Mike Quick, man. of the David Ossikinen.
Hey, tell me why he's not in the Hall of Fame. I think he should have been in the Hall of Fame.
He probably should, yeah. Well, but
shorthanded.
One of the best.
Yeah,
I mean, he's in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He is an all-time Philadelphia great.
Right.
And we have this week.
Yeah.
I know you're so excited, as am I.
Good
we
sleep.
Have an
so
all-time
excited.
Philadelphia great with us this week on episode 82 of the David Ossikinen in the Pocket podcast. We have one of your partners in crime.
Yeah, for
the,
many
the
years.
The partner in crime.
Yeah, the
one
man.
Of the two co-founders of the Hooters.
Well, hey, the chief, I was saying, the chief.
The chief, as you call him. The incredibly talented Rob Hyman is with us on the line from his home studio in Bryn Mawr, and we are going to be with Rob in just a minute. We've had Eric Bazillion, the other Hooter co-leader, on twice, so we're very excited now to have Rob on. We've kind of
extremely,
And I know I'm not going to get a word in for the whole hour.
Because
you and Rob are going to be reminiscing and telling stories.
I promise you will.
I figure. So to the listeners, hello, and I'll talk to you at the outro.
I don't think Rob knows the Cherry Hill story. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. There's things about, like, your history following the band, interviewing the band, doing things that he'll find interesting, which is cool.
Well, hey, I'm totally content to just kick back and listen to you and Rob talk for the next hour or so, because it's going to be great stuff. Anyway, hey, we're here at the Wildfire Radio Studio in beautiful Woodbury, New Jersey. As always, Taylor is with us on the other side in this new revamp. We got all these video screens now, so we can kind of see Taylor, wave to him, and if you're watching us on video now, you guys can wave to us. So very excited to be here, as I said, with Rob Hyman, and we'll be with Rob in just a minute. Want to thank our sponsors again this week, our great friend Eric Metz at Croker Percussion, crokerpercussion.com. That's C-R-O-A-K-E-R percussion. They are dedicated to creating quality handcrafted percussion instruments with superior sound quality and unmatched craftsmanship. Check out some of the things Eric can offer you on the web. You can see the great pictures of all these great percussion instruments, or call them 215-669-8588.
He makes the best shaker in the business.
Dave would know.
He does.
Dave would know. Yeah. Hey, and we're also sponsored again this week by our great friends at the Mainline School of Rock in Berwyn, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Taking young musicians, giving them the best teachers, the best facilities, and helping them feel like rock stars. And some of them someday will actually become rock stars.
We've had a few of them on the show. Hey, and by the way, I was looking at, there was an email sent out yesterday, and they have the new shows starting. Like I told you last time, they had Metallica, they had Left of the Dial, they had Almost Famous. What was the other one? I forget what the other one was. Oh, The Who. They were doing Who. So the new list is out yesterday. And a bunch of my students are asking me, you know, and I've been encouraging them, because I was so happy to see they're doing Women in Rock, which is killer. They're gonna have some great, because it's great. And a Kinks show.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Which I was like, awesome. The Kinks. And a whole songwriters thing, which is great.
I love that you're going to be introducing young musicians to the Kinks.
Yeah.
We need a new generation of people to discover
and
the Kinks.
And I had no idea. And just a few weeks ago, I had a couple of my students playing to Victoria and some of the Kinks stuff, Waterloo Sunset, just like how the dynamics and the way they play and the rock and stuff. And of course, you get, tired of waiting and all those great early days, but it's fun. It's such a great program. Rick and Dave do a wonderful job. It's safe. They take precautions, and if you don't want to do a lesson, you can do online lessons, and it's a fantastic program. I bought in because I just love it, and I'm there teaching with Wally, and we have a ball.
That's great. Well, you can check it out, schoolofrock.com. They're all over the country and actually the world, but specifically look up the one in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, the Mainline School of Rock, or call that one specifically, 610-647-2900. If you mention you heard about it on the Dave Ossikinen in the Pocket podcast, I think they'll give you a little bit of a discount.
I think he will.
All right. Well, speaking of great music and great musicians, we have one of the best ever.
I wrote today... I could say, because I've worked with Rob for many years, he is the man. I mean, really, musician and songwriter, rock, the Hooters and last few years doing stuff on Broadway. And he's, I admire him as a person, a musician, a band leader, and it's so cool.
Well, let's say hello to him.
Hey, Rob,
he's there.
How are you,
Bryn Mawr? How you doing, Rob?
Hey, guys. Hello.
Rob's
greetings.
Yeah, good to have you on, Rob. You know, it took a little bit, but man, I'm glad you're here. And I'll tell you, now we're cooking with the video. And unfortunately, at some point, we'll be able to have our guests have video. I know some will get to that point, but once this whole COVID thing is, the studio is really nice. We have a setup where people can come and play, because at one time before all the coronavirus stuff happened, we would have live guests and they would talk about their songs and play, and that changed, unfortunately, because of COVID. But it's so great to have you with us, Rob, and I know you've been honkered down doing your thing. And how are you?
Yeah, we're all hunkered down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was waiting for the new year. Belated New Year's greetings to everybody.
Yes.
New year, new administration. You know,
thank God for that.
Activity, so the time is now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But now we're hanging in, doing what everybody's doing, being careful, and working at home. I took right. over my kid's bedroom, and it's
with
funny because
studio.
Well, I have a great studio in Concha Hawk.
Yeah, you do.
Room. You know it well.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Hooters home, among other things. I collect big organs and crazy instruments. So it's been our space, but it's sadly been dark with what's going on. I've done a couple little things in the control room one-on-one, but you got to be so careful. We're so close with the vaccines and all that. But I have two boys. They're both out of the house, and they shared a room, and I took it over. So I still have some of their stuff on the walls. I'm just a very, if you know me, I'm a very sentimental, nostalgic collector.
Thank God, too. You know, I swear, because you have, from the time I met, you've always help, like, let me hold on to that, and you've kept some sacred items that we can always go back and look at.
What kind of stuff?
Set lists.
That's one word for them.
Yeah, to me. Well, yeah.
Yeah. What are we talking? What kind of stuff?
Well, set lists and posters and just things that we forget. He's always had them.
40 years now.
Yeah.
41.
Yeah,
it's coming up of exactly set list photos.
Yeah,
just archives. And actually, my son Nicky's helping me. We just rebuilt the website recently, so check that out if you haven't.
Yeah,
for our fans. And he was a great help. And we started scanning things. Really, a lot of it was kind of spurred on by the 40th anniversary last year, which didn't happen. But we had a ton of stuff in the works for that, and it'll still come out. And the good part of it is we've scanned over 500, 600 things so far, but I have thousands. I mean, it's boxes in the attic, that kind of thing. So we're going through it. We're bringing in some daylight, and Nikki's been helping me a ton. And we have several printers and scanners, and even slide. We just got a slide scanner for, tons of slides and negatives, which I didn't even have access to. I'm finding amazing stuff.
Wow.
It'd be even older than the Hooters. I was in a group called Wax.
Yeah.
We played the Electric Factory in 1970. I'm kind of dating myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did. It was a college band. And
I just had a friend. Someone just sent me an email or message and said, I saw Baby Grand at the Belmont Plateau. And I said, I don't think it was Baby. It was a Baby Grand, or was it Wax?
It was Wax.
There
Wax
you go.
We played the first Earth Day, which I think was 1970.
With C-Train, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Jacob's Ladder.
I look back and I was like, how did we play it? Did we even have, you know, microphones and a PA?
Vocal master.
Monitors?
Yeah. Wow.
But anyway, we found some slides from, we played at the Electric Factory, opening for John Mayall and also Van Morrison. This was Wax.
Right.
And we just found slides from 1970. I mean, you know, 50 years, and they're in mint condition. So we're scanning them.
Fantastic.
And then I have all kinds of Hooter stuff.
Yeah.
We just found a bunch with Mindy, our late wonderful violinist.
We did
a Live in Europe album in the 90s, towards the end of that period. And, we just found a whole book of slides from that. So we're going to start to try to get this out through the website and just, you know, digging into the archive and share
good
it with
stuff.
The fans. And, and I don't even know what I have anymore.
I love that. That is awesome.
You mentioned the website.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that. Yeah, hootersmusic.com.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
From a fan's perspective, it's an amazing website. Rob's talking about all the pictures and the art. I mean, some of the photos on there are amazing. And and the bio, you know, you get in-depth on the bios. You learn, like, little secret, little things about the guys, like that Rob makes his own hot sauce. You know,
he does. It's really good. And he grows the peppers for his hot sauce. He does that.
And I take it on the road.
Too. Yeah, he does.
Is that a long time passion of yours, Rob?
Pretty long.
It has been. I don't know when and how it started, but I have a spicy palate, and a friend of mine, Paul Hammond, who works at my studio as well, gave me a bottle.
He's been on our podcast.
Paul's been great. And you know, he gave me a bottle of sauce that he made. It was really great. I said, how do you do this? And he showed me, and it turns out in the backyard of my studio, I have a little piece of land that gets a lot of sun. And the soil is right, and we grow these crazy exotic hot peppers from all over the world, from India, from the Caribbean, from South America. They're crazy hot.
Wow.
And I've been growing them and making the sauce. And the other, you know, one of the reasons is if you have airline food or on the road food, you know how that can taste. So
You're going to compete with Paul Newman, Rob.
I guess.
Sometimes.
Some pepper flakes, sauce to just spice up what's pretty bland.
Yeah.
You know.
It's been fun.
Are you one of these people where it can't be too hot? I mean, can you, it's never hot enough?
No.
Do you have a threshold?
In fact, it's not about the heat because I could burn flavor. You know, your tongue out and I don't like that.
Flavor.
The flavor, you get a little heat. Sometimes it's in the back of your throat. Sometimes it's on, you know, your lips getting numb. Yeah. I don't know. But no, these are crazy hot peppers. I mean, I have to wear masks and gloves. I even cut them outside because my wife says the whole house starts to reek of hot sauce.
Wow.
And you have to be careful. I touched my eye once. I almost went to the emergency room. Wow. That's another story.
Whoa.
No, it's not about the heat. You know, it's really the taste. And,
right.
It's just been fun.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So, of course, from the site. And one really cool thing is that there is a local. There's a. Can you hear us? Did we lose you for a second? You back?
Yes. There you go.
There you go. So,
gotcha. Yep.
Well, there's a live concert from Rock of Ages from 2018.
Right, that from Germany.
Really great.
Fantastic.
You know, and I watched it on I could put it on our big screen and down. And I watched it on the screen and it was awesome. You know, I mean, it was like, cool.
Well,
really,
you know,
really nice.
A few words about that. We recorded, we played this festival in Germany. It's called Rock of Ages. It was the 10th year they did it. We've done it three times, and we kept kind of moving up the ladder. I think it's a 2-3 day festival. They get over 10,000 people. It's awesome. And this time in 2018, we headlined. In fact, I think we might have closed the third night.
Yeah,
And it's a pretty hard rock, you know, heavy metal kind of thing for the most part. And the first time we went there, we looked around like, are you sure this is the right gig?
We do that a lot, though.
We've done a bunch of those.
Yeah.
I mean, we play with Deep Purple. We play this thing called Sweden Rock. We shared a stage with Ozzy. You know, it's really been amazing to see these pretty gothic heavy metal fans come out and we bring out the accordions, the mandolin.
They dig it, though, in Germany.
Loving it. So this Rock of Ages was really a peak moment. That we did in 2018, and it was going to be a DVD for the 2020 tour, and, you know, just make it a real special thing. And then, you know, COVID had other plans, so we've been sitting on it, and we just didn't want it to sit in the can and gather dust. And it was so, you know, it was such an energetic kind of day feeling. So we put it out and we shared it with the site.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places if people want to donate to some causes. The main thing we thought about was it's been so traumatic and so horrible.
The
venues,
bands,
and
crews, and everybody associated with playing and getting out. Yeah.
Not to get on a tangent, but I almost put this in the website. We started, and I mentioned it a little. I mean, we are a club band. You know, like Bruce is a club band. Springsteen.
Yeah.
It's just. You just play at bigger clubs, you know, or bigger stages. But at its heart, and we still play a lot of clubs. That's how we started. That's how we'll end. And that's our story. You know, whatever we bring to the stage, no matter how big, it's still like this kind of, I don't know, I call it a club mentality. So
yeah. We never got out of Vernon's.
On and on. Yeah.
It's like the same thing here.
We played, you know, we could go on and on and on. And it actually started with Davey up in Levittown and his buddies, the original band, and at Vernon's. And then it moved into Philly. Then we moved into Delaware. But I started writing the list one day of the clubs, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So anyway, with the website, what we're asking people to do, so many clubs have been hit so hard or closed. And, you know, we're just trying to help things along. Even in Philly, like at World Cafe Live, where our monitor guy Turk has been the house sound guy.
Yeah.
We know those people since the beginning. And Hal Real, for example, one of the I guess he is the owner of it, is on this organization to save independent venues. And so on the website, there are places where if you want, you can donate. It's, you know, not everyone can afford to, but if you can, there's a couple of different ways. There's a thing called Save Our Stages. I mean, look, if you're a live musician, you're not playing these days, and it just breaks all of our hearts. It's horrible. So so that's one thing, just trying to, you know, share that a little bit. And the other thing was, here's the video for free, and it just reminds us of another era, you know?
Right.
It's another day that we hope will come back sooner than later, but just to see thousands of people sweating, even us on top. I mean, we're very interactive on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, we hang out. We drape ourselves over each other. We bump into each other. We're sharing the sweat and spit and everything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, to imagine playing at a safe distance is like, I don't even know what that will be, you know?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, this the video's on the site. Enjoy it. Yeah, crank it up, and we'll think of better days.
I'm with you. I did, and I was playing it, and I was like, wow, you know, I just really well done. So if anybody, our listeners, and if you haven't seen it, you know, go to the website.
Again, it's
fun.
Hootersmusic.com is the website.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and as Rob and Dave said, a lot of great stuff on there. Fun. Hey, where do you guys want to go? There's so many places we could go with Rob. We got 40 years of Hooters history.
We got a lot of other stories.
Yeah. Where do you want to? I mean, Rob mentioned the clubs and starting at Maddie's and Vernon's in Levittown.
Well, what was the there? I know we had some songs that we talked about. There was probably the earliest recording that we have that was with us today.
We didn't have your earliest recording.
Well, but you know, I heard Blood a little earlier.
We did have the Amore version of Blood from a Stone.
Yeah, which I got to tell you a story, and Rob probably knows this too. I remember the great Warren Zevon. I met Warren, and Warren said to me, he said, you know, that song, I love that song, Blood from a Stone. He goes, it's one of my favorite songs. And I was like, wow, you know, I mean, when somebody like that, you know, it says, that guy listened to that all the time. And then Eric says, I don't know what that song's about. That's what he said to me.
That's kind of why I threw it on the list.
Yeah, I love it.
I'll tell you a little bit.
Please.
And actually, Eric used to live, I guess it was 3rd and Vine. He had a place deep in Philly.
Yep,
you know, we've all moved around the area. We've been all over, obviously. And I think we wrote it, if I'm not mistaken, in his basement. He had a little Porta studio. Eric was always the the documenting engineer of the demos.
Indeed.
And I think it was Porta studio time. But I kind of remember it being another one that we wrote quickly. You know, it just kind of popped in our heads. And I think we wrote it down in his, maybe the basement of his apartment.
Because you had the Casio, that little white Casio that you would bring with you, right?
And the little solo on the Amore version, there's a banjo setting on this Casio, and that's what we use. In fact, the top of the intro of the song, the solo was done on a Casio. You know, we've always been interested in these kind of nutty sounds and making them real.
Yeah.
But there's a concept, and by the way, it's our great friend Turk's favorite Hooters song, so every now and then we pull it out just to play for him.
Yeah.
But hey, Turk. It's actually a political song, and you know, it's kind of got this rock thing, you can't get blood from a stone, but the first line, your buddy Sam, he's a bit confused. Well, that's Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
We were singing, it was kind of, again, dating ourselves back in the Ronald Reagan years, I think, but it was actually about, it was subtitled The Social Security Song.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
If I could just interrupt for 1 second, it's a good thing you went with Blood from a Stone as a title and not the Social Security Song.
Wow. How about that?
So that didn't sing as well as a hook. But you're right about that. But that was kind of the context. And you know, if you go through the lyric and it's kind of relevant, it will always be relevant because there's so many questions about where we're headed in this world and in our economy and with Social Security and will our kids get it and our grandkids, you know, I hear it from my kids all the time. They're like, thanks a lot, Dad, you know, for the mess you've made.
So, right. Yeah. You know, true.
It's kind of, you know, you put it in, but you can't get it out.
Yeah.
Black hole in a bottomless pit. Wow. I'm getting tired of all this.
Bullshit.
You can say
it on the world. You can say it's bullshit. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we said it on the song. You anyway, if I can't, all you know the lyrics, but listen through. I would say with that in mind, Sam and Uncle Sam, and you can scream and you can moan, but you can't get blood from a stone. And I don't know. It's kind of an omen. It's still relevant. And the other thing about it is, it's just a rock song.
Well, that's so, exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, I
whether
mean,
you know what it's about or not,
right.
It's actually kind of a political song. At its
when song. I graduated high school in 1984 and went down to college in D.C. at American University, and I was trying to introduce Washington to the Hooters. Nervous Night wasn't out yet, but Amore was. So of course I had Amore,
and we
was,
played there and, too. You know,
and I was trying to get my friends in the dorm to. And one of the songs that they all gravitated to from Amore was Blood from a Stone. They all loved that song. And,
right.
And it was also one of the first Hooters songs that somebody covered. The Red Rockers covered
Red Rockers.
It.
Yeah, they did.
Great version of it, too.
Yeah, they changed the lyrics a little bit. But yeah.
I love this version. I love the Amore. We did it on Nervous Night as well. The Amore version has got this raw kind of
a couple things. Three things for Nervous Night. And Zombies was, you know, used to say win by a knockout. I mean, that was one of our mantras. It still is. You know, if you're kind of wondering, okay, choosing between this or that, it's kind of win by a knockout. If you're going to try to improve something, really improve it. And I think in the case of Zombies, which we made kind of this epic track, I think that one won. I think that's a great version.
Totally.
But for Blood and for Hanging on a Heartbeat, we recut them. We changed the arrangement, especially for Heartbeat. And it's really pretty cool what we did. But those are more versions. Just had that raw, you know, you're in the studio, you're desperate. The clock's ticking. We're paying for studio time.
Right.
And we're in a hurry. So, you know, stuff's a little fast on that record. But for those versions, Eric's vocal on Heartbeat, the track on Blood, everybody's playing on those two songs. I
fired
think
up.
I don't think we ever beat those.
From a fan's perspective, at the risk of pissing off the guy who wrote the songs, I do prefer the Amore versions of both of those songs. So.
Yeah.
But,
we do too.
Yeah.
We do too.
We do too.
Yeah,
we're in agreement. You know, Davey's friend Billy Goodman used to say something that was really great in the studio. Tried something, it didn't work.
He's going to love that you quoted him.
Let's throw on just a little bit of the Amore version of Blood from a Stone.
Yeah. All right.
1983. Crank it,
support my government with a high
Yeah, man, that's the shit. Right there.
I know, I said, we normally only play, you know, first minute or two of a song, but I had to let it go.
I had to go.
It's a short song. We had to hear most
of
it.
And the solo, the keyboard solo is wonderful. Yeah. Great moment. It's almost a little punky, too, man. Anyway, it's great, Rob.
It's a good one.
Talking about political songs, you also mentioned Jumping Ahead to Zigzag, 1989. You also mentioned Mr. Big Baboon, which is another one that probably people didn't pick up, you know, that was a political song. They probably thought it was a fun little song about animals in the jungle. And
kind of. In fact, I always wanted to do a video of that, like a cartoon, you know, Animal Farm kind of thing where you have the baboon and the bear and chimpanzee and all this stuff. But basically, that was kind of more about the Cold War.
Right.
I guess it would be the U.S.
would have been Gorbachev,
China and Russia. And it hasn't changed much.
No.
Still the U.S., China, and Russia.
Still.
And you can pick who the big baboon is or not. But
depending on where you're at listening.
If that was another, it's a little bit more vague, but same thing. I thought a little video might have been fun, like an old style political cartoon, but we're musicians. I always say that we're not politicians, but in the music, there's a lot you can say. We had the amazing honor and thrill to play Live Aid and Amnesty and tons of benefits, the wall.
Right.
We've done a lot of just different things, you know, causes along the way.
Yeah.
And the music has power. And sometimes the songs, it creeps into the songs. It's not overtly political, but that's Big Baboon is about that. Mm. It's about the world powers just, you know, and then John Lilly has the famous line there at the end. It's a stalemate there. And it is a stalemate. We're still in a stalemate.
Yeah.
You know, just today, Biden is talking to Putin. And it's like, you know, are these things ever going to change? You really start to wonder.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are a couple of our.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, you're still writing that kind of lyrical content because, you know, it's not. As you know, the rock and rollers of today, I don't know, are we hearing a lot of political songs these days? Not really.
Well, you know what? You're hearing it in much more in like in just in general in hip hop, rap.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There you go.
And back in the day was, you know, there was, we'll say punk rock or, you know, you had the Sex Pistols, you had the Clash, you had very overtly political bands, especially from England.
Right.
I just saw a great movie, by the way, that I recommend that my son turned me on to called 24 Hour Party People. And it's about the Manchester music scene in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
And Sex Pistols and New Order. And
Oasis, probably?
That's too early.
That's funny you say that because apparently there's another movie coming out
that
is about, that's called Creation Records, I think, about the label.
Yes, I saw a part of that.
Oasis.
Yeah.
But this, you know, you look at these bands, you know, Sex Pistols on, and it was just totally political.
Yes.
And it was a movement about that's what it was more than, you know, music and melodies and hooks. It was just about putting it in people's faces. So it's always been there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's different ways to get it in your music. It'll always be there. You know, I guess in the States, going back to the 60s, it was Dylan. It was Peter Paul and Mary.
Well, interesting really that you mentioned Dylan, Rob, because last night I watched One Night in Miami. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, but in a movie, I'm not going to give it away, but it's actually based on a real life occurrence where those guys got together and Sam Cooke is getting rode by Malcolm X about, like, you know, he played him the Bob Dylan song and he said, like, why can't you write a song like that? You know,
it's
really fun. And he's saying, like, and it was an eye opening for Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke was like, and then Sam wrote a song because he made
Change is Gonna Come.
Exactly. Yeah. Where do you see the film? It's fantastic. Yeah,
I'm definitely planning on watching
it. It's fantastic.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Well, you know, the other element of that is, it was really folk music in the 60s.
Right.
And then, I mentioned Peter, Paul, and Mary, and probably that's the most overtly political thing we did, at least that connected
to
the level, which is 500 miles.
Right.
So we took a folk song, which is the tradition of folk songs, is they just get handed down.
At Tiananmen Square with the video.
That was another benefit thing that we played.
I nearly cringed, though. Last week I saw something when everything went down on the 6th, I saw somebody from that faction on the news trying to say, well, we're like the people of Tiananmen Square. I said, no, you're not. You know, you're trying to use that. I'm going, hey, wait a minute. That's a different animal, man. You don't know that's different.
Those were student protesters demonstrating peacefully that just got shut and shot down, you know, and exactly. Mm. And so in that song, in 500
miles.
Particular, in 500, you'll see that. And then we even got Peter, Paul, and Mary to sing or make a little cameo. They had us use some of their footage because they were in all the peace marches back when. You know, it just keeps coming along. It was just MLK Day, and then you're reminded of so many things in our country's history. I mean, we could go on and on.
It's very powerful. And again, that song.
Yeah, you know, just everybody's just trying to do their. It just seems like common sense to treat your fellow man, you know, fairly and with respect. But somehow there are these factions in this country. It's horrible. January 6th was just something that's going to be forever in our history books. And it's like, what the hell happened, and how and why? So, you know, I'm sure there'll be there's going to be plenty of music and plenty of films and, so, art that are going to come from those periods. And there's always going to be that. That's human, you know, strife and stress.
I agree. I always every night I play 500. I kid you not, Andy. There's always a from you know it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the video. Maybe this is something about that. It is a powerful spiritual moment in that song for me. Every time I'm playing it, I feel like I get centered. No matter where I'm on the show, I said, "Okay, 500." It just makes me think.
Well, you know,
about
funny funny little side note about that one, because it might be the most political thing we have as far as a hit, quote unquote. That was a single in the States, and it basically bombed. It really didn't go anywhere. We had high hopes for it. And then, you know, and when that happens, you know, we had so much excitement about it. There's a beautiful video, maybe one of the best that we've done.
Danny Kleiman, right? He did a great.
Awesome video. Peter, Paul, and Mary do a cameo. We just felt so strongly about what. And there's so many elements in that song. You know, it's a folk song. It's got kind of a reggae groove. We wrote some new verses. It's old. It's new. It tanked in the States.
Tanked.
You know, really, and then you start to wonder, like, gee, maybe that was a really, you know, stupid or bad idea. We go to Europe, and over the years, it's become our number one streaming song. Eric tells me on Spotify. You know, we started playing it overseas, and hey, that's just the way it goes. But it's funny that it took other countries to react and get it and respond. And it's still to this day, it's much bigger elsewhere than it is in the States. You know, our fans know it and they like it, but when we play it overseas, I mean, it's just a showstopper.
Right,
you look in the video, it's got a whole extended.
Well, then you played it at Rock Meets Classics.
Having had that experience and great fortune to travel, you know, your music can hit different markets in different ways.
But didn't you play that at Rock Meets Classics? You played 500 Miles. Didn't you do that? Wasn't that one of the songs that you played?
Yes.
So, I mean, that says a lot. You know, Rob and Eric did
You guys, the Hooters, it's interesting because you have a few songs that are much bigger in Europe.
Zombies was
Zombies was huge
here, but it did really well.
Well, I was talking specifically Johnny B, right, which you know, did well on here, but in Germany, right? It was a huge hit in Germany.
That's the biggest of all.
That's a song gets us out of tickets.
Same thing. You know, well, the song, same thing. It kind of tanked in the States, really, as a single. I think it was, might have been the first one off.
Yes, it was.
And we're following up Nervous Night, you know, million, double platinum, big album, big tours. And we're like, okay, let's come out with this thing. And I don't know. You know, you can point fingers. Was it the promotion? Was it just not clicking? Same thing. We go overseas, and that's on
London, England. It was a hit. Satellite, actually, the second single from that Satellite was. Satellite. That's when we went get back. All of a sudden, we're playing the Top of the Pops. I remember leaving London, and 2 weeks later, we were back. We had to fly back to do a TV show, which was incredible. You know, we did
it's a
BBC
great lesson
India.
You know, to learn again, we had the opportunity to do that, but just to musicians in general and all that. You know, you live in the States, you think this is the whole world. And it's live or die in this world, this market. And we were really lucky to get into other places. And honestly, different songs have different countries where they did really well. Boys Will Be Boys, pretty obscure song. Big hit in Norway. And then there were some things that were really big in
Australia. Japan. Oh, yeah.
Australia went for Zombies, which was a little bit more, you know, common, but different countries had different tastes, just like food or customs. Yeah. You know, they pick up on different things. So, and when we play these shows, you know, the set list varies because it's like, oh, okay. You know, in the States, we might do Johnny B early in the show. You go to Germany and it's like the big ending.
Should we play a little bit of Big Baboon since we have it? Do we have it?
We do. We could play a little. Sure.
Let's get a little sample of that since we're talking a political thing.
All right. Yes. This is from Zigzag, 1989, Mr. Big Baboon.
galaxies, from snakes in the grass to the chimpanzees. We all know it ain't fair, but it's a jungle out there. Go bang your drum, Mr. Big Baboon. What monkeys see, monkey will do. Boom, 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 boom. Mr. Big Baboon, mad dog on the prowl, sees the bear in the trees. They can never be friends, they're natural enemies. So you better beware, well, it's a jungle out there. So go bang your drum, Mr. Big Baboon. What monkeys see, monkey will do. Boom, 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 Mr. Big Baboon.
We had to get to the accordion solo.
Of course.
Eric's smoking guitar. Go bang your drum. Same thing. Yeah. Go bang your drum. Could be North Korea. Could be China. We're all. It could be the States. Same. Yeah. Nothing's changed.
Right. Great stuff.
Hey, by the way, before we go any further, too, I just want to give a shout out to Eric with his that awesome solo coming up. But he's back in town. Yeah. He lost his mom recently. Yeah. Eric, we love you, man. Best wishes are all with you and your family. I mean, his mom was an amazing woman, played piano. I think gave Eric the musical gene and genius that he has. So just shout outs and to all the guys, actually.
Yeah.
Of course. Right. But Eric, we're thinking of you and hang in there, and we're going to jam again. We're going to play again. It's just been such a stressful time.
Yeah.
For Eric, his family's in Sweden. He's been kind of back and forth, not much. And it's just been terrible for us to communicate at such a distance. So Eric, we're thinking of you, man. Yeah. Hang in there.
Yep. That goes for all of us.
Man. Yeah. Well said, Rob. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a life Barbara Bazilian led.
Remarkable woman. Like Rob said, she's beautiful. Just incredible. Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned zombies a couple times, and this song's been talked about to death, but I love the story, Rob. I don't know if you know this, that Dave has said, he's told this on the podcast a couple times, that the first time he heard zombies, he wasn't really sure what to make of it. He's just like, why are we doing this song? right, Dave?
I liked it, but I didn't think, I remember, it was set list time, so I think I remember a point, and we were playing, we've been playing a song a long time. So
it's one of the first songs Rob and Eric ever wrote together.
I remember it was like in a prominent place in a set, and I was going along with, I'm with it, but I remember going, but I remember thinking, I don't know about this. And then, what happened with it, it's mind blowing for me that it was a lesson. It was a real lesson. Like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Dave.
Well, you weren't the only one.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that you stuck to your guns because you knew it was special. I mean, look, I was obviously incredibly brilliant lyrics, great story. I mean, who doesn't like a great Bible? Like, it's always been said, who doesn't like a great Bible story? It's great in that regard. But, I'm thinking, is that going to break us? And then somebody like Redbeard of all people, like the guy that like broke ZZ Top, he's the guy that breaks the all you zombies around the United States. Because back in the day, there were certain DJs that were tastemakers. Yeah. He was a real influential guy, and people would look to see, what's he adding? He said, this song, All You Zombies, is great. We were like, wow, and he was a massive fan.
Rob, did you and Eric know that this could be something special?
I was going to say, and rather than even play the song, which you can if you want, people have heard it.
Yeah.
But I think there's just a couple little stories associated that maybe people would enjoy, and Davey was part of this. It was one of the first songs we wrote. That's that we had this little place in Mania called The Ranch, and Fighting on the Same Side and Zombies were the two that really yeah. kind of identified the sound in a way, and yeah. we're still playing. So, yeah. you know, to play a song for 40 years is something. We didn't quite know what we had, and related to what Davey's saying, we used to play up in Vernon's in Levittown, and yeah. it was our, you know, like Cavern Club, whatever, yeah. boot camp. We would play 4 or 5 nights a week, 4 sets a night. So
five.
You kids out there,
five, Rob.
You know, 5 sets. So when you say, oh, you know, how do we get started when kids are always asking? I'm like, just get out there and play. Yeah. And the people will tell you. But the funny thing was, Vernon's was a tiny little, I don't know if I have photos of, but it was tiny. There was a bar. I think the stage was in the back.
Yeah.
It was probably like a shoebox. Mm. And I just remember we'd go in and set up, and you had the regulars at the bar watching the Phillies game, and yeah. Davey's banging on his drums. And
like, you know, shut up!
Keep it down.
Yeah, we're trying to play pool over here. Shut up.
Yeah. We're trying to play pool and yeah. watch the Phillies. Yeah. And we, you know, who are these guys? And yeah. so we would have to put together. Yeah, 4 or 5 sets. And yeah. back then it was like half covers. We were doing Tom Petty. We were doing Joe Jackson, whatever yeah. was out.
Ska versions, though. We always had our originality.
And then we had our own like ska yeah. reggae weirdness going on.
Yeah.
And Zombies was in the set. We played it from the very beginning, but right. it was kind of the bastard child of our set list. Like, we would play it in the first set kind of early. So I keep saying in my mind, and everyone's got a different memory, but my recollection was it was like, let's get it out of the way.
You know, like, I think I eventually it. Saw what you were singing. I was like, yeah, let's get it over with. And then it got it done. Like, it was early, you know, early in the set.
It was kind of this, not a love-hate thing, but it just felt like, you know, there's something cool and quirky yeah. about this song, but let's right. just play it early.
Right.
And then we'll get into the real dancey stuff. And, yeah. and so we would just kind of get it out of the way. And honestly, the other lesson, it was a big lesson, is what we played, one of our biggest gigs of the early days was at Emerald City.
Yeah.
And we did a live radio broadcast over MMR.
Right.
And that was like a big break. It was like, we're going to get 45 minutes or whatever of airtime
yeah.
on MMR doing crazy shit. We did yeah. the Israelites, you Great. Know, we did these, Trench Town Rock,
right.
Bob Marley.
Man
you
in know, the Street. Man in the Street.
Man in the Street.
Yeah.
It was really fantastic. The original band with John Kuzman, Bobby Woods,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we just were really deep into the ska thing. So yeah. we played Zombies, and it still was kind of a weird song. And Davey, yeah. I don't know if you remember, but I think the DJ's name was Terry Young. They called him the Mono.
Yes, sure, because,
and,
yep, I do remember.
He was on maybe even an AM station.
Yes, back then I think there was like a 99 point. I was like, because we went to a party with him later because he was like the big, he was from New Orleans, actually, where he
okay,
came
so
from New Orleans.
The,
yeah.
Yeah, we did the broadcast. We played the song.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, wow, you know, we're getting some momentum and we're trying to figure out, you know, what's next and what should we record? And I believe it was Terry. We met him somewhere or had some contact, and he said, that song about all you people in the street, all you zombies in the street, that's the one, that's the
no
one.
No kidding.
Still,
wow.
A couple years in, we wow. still thought, yeah, and we still thought, really? He goes, yeah, that's the one, that's the one.
How about
and
that?
And that was a huge lesson. That's kind of like Rick in our
wow.
case, Rick coming in, or an A&R guy
yeah.
who might tell you what you don't really know or see.
Right.
We wrote it, but we were kind of still standing back, and I clearly remember Terry saying, that's the one. And we put it out as a 45,
yep.
the live version for you,
did,
you know,
did
archivist,
great.
And it was right off the radio, and he was right. That was the one. And that song just opened up doors, and you know, the rest is history.
And they played that on the radio. I mean, back in the day, they would play that. We would hear it.
Yeah.
And fighting. Yeah. And of course, Man on the Street was the first thing that we heard. But it was like unbelievable that we it was a different day.
It takes fresh ears or somebody else's perspective. I mean, Rick, again, as producing, not only
you're mentioned
friend,
people, but Rick Chertoff, he's mentioned because Rob, and when Rob mentioned that show that he played with Wax, the drummer in that band was Rick Chertoff, which
Rick,
is, yeah,
absolutely.
Rick, he's been playing with Rob for a long time, part of the Hooters family.
And he went on to do A&R and studio, you know. And
Cindy Lauper.
And Joan and everything. And he was like our song guy. And I'll tell you, Rick was brutally honest. He's great, a friend. He's the sweetest guy in the world. But he will tell you what he thinks.
Yeah.
And like Eric and I, we would write a song, be all excited, play for him. And he's like, okay, that's nice, you know, which is not what you want to hear.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't like it?
Exactly.
Right.
But in the end, his opinions, and no one bats, you know, 1,000%, but 100%, but he really always had perspectives that we didn't really think of because we're, you know, when you're writing it, it's hard to be objective, obviously, and you're inside it. And so Zombies was one of those songs that I remember just, we did believe in it, but it took somebody else to, right. to several people to move it along. And then Rick, of course, with Nervous Night, he's the one that said, hey, let's maybe stretch out the arrangement. And in this case, right. I think we did, right. you know, beat the early versions right. and it became this yeah. 6-minute epic.
Oh, yeah. And it was the song that grabbed Roger Waters' attention and led to you it guys was. End yeah. up playing the Wall show, yeah. at, you know, in Berlin,
was. Yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah,
which
and you
was
think
amazing.
About how these things happen, like a little, and really, we wrote it pretty quickly. I mean, it was a couple nights in Mania. Some things come easy, not everything, but that one was one yeah. of the faster ones, and we're still wondering what the song is about. You know,
but you wrote it quickly.
Things, but it was, Roger Waters, yeah. many years later. So from a little, mm. you know, our little hole in the wall in Maniac, and then to Vernon's, to this, to that. Next thing you know, we're in London. Mm. Roger Waters is in the audience. Yeah. You know, and it just blew our minds. Yeah. And he was a fan. Yeah.
And then you saw Van Morrison. You played with Van Morrison years ago, I guess with Wax. And then years ago, do you remember? You took a photo. Yes. Great, Rob yes. tells this great story. Van Morrison's a pretty freaky dude.
Oh yeah,
he's not like I'm going to take photos. He's kind of antisocial. And Rob saying I'm going to get a photo with Van Morrison, and somehow yeah. Rob manages like somebody said stay here, and I'm going to stand right here and get a photo. You got to tell that story, Rob. It's great.
We're all backstage. I'll make it quick. We're all backstage, and our dear friend Howard Lavin, who's just a great buddy, manages to come over to Berlin, sneak in, get backstage. Howard's just one of those guys. He gets places we can't even get, yeah. you know. So he's back there, and I go, and everyone's kind of chilling. And Van is notoriously, you know, Van. He's yeah. inclusive, and he can be, you know, yeah. push people away. But you know, back there with a very mellow vibe, and I say, okay, Howard. I'm going to walk over. I'm going to go up to Van. Just be ready. And so I go to Van, and I just kind of said, you know, loved Van. Still do. I'm a big fan. You yeah. know, and it was, I just went over. I said, you know, Van, you know, I'm with the Hooters and really appreciate your music. And then I look up, put my arm around him, and Howard's there. And I'm click.
And so we have this That's issue, so
like,
great.
Van. It's kind of like deer in the headlights. But he was cool. Yeah. I said, Howard, just have the camera handy. Yeah. And he snapped it. So it was
good
fun.
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not many people have that kind of photo with Van. That's really great.
He was awesome.
Quick aside on that Emerald City show that you mentioned, Rob. For people who want to know what the Hooters sounded like in 1981, who maybe came along a little later, the audio of that show is entirely on YouTube.
Yeah,
you can,
really?
You can actually still hear.
Right.
Wow.
Yes,
cool.
So
yes.
I mean, of course, you guys should be getting paid for that. Yeah. So it's probably yeah. the fact yeah. that it's yeah. on there and you're not getting paid for it. But there is a chance for people to, because obviously a lot of people.
Somebody had asked at one point. They said a friend of mine said, with all the vinyl resurgence, or at least the fact that vinyl's still around, let's say,
great.
I'm a big fan of vinyl, yeah. big record collector, and someone said, "Oh, you should put that on vinyl," which would actually be very cool.
Yeah,
and they it would said,
be.
"But it is up there. Yes, it's yeah. available. Yeah. You know, it's the early band and all this craziness. Yeah. Just yeah. you know, the sounds and the yeah. vibe, yeah. really something." Yeah. That was a great venue, and
we played there a couple times. I remember my parents came. We played with Steel Pulse, which is, you know, an amazing band. Played yeah. La Reggae. I remember
English Beat.
And I remember my parents came and they were up on that side stage there. My dad got so high because they were smoking so much pot and he was so stoned. Like, I remember he came in, my dad, I'm going with him, and he said, I'm hungry. He's like, is there any catering? Or like, I'm like, oh, okay, come here, Dad. I'll never forget that. He was blasted. My dad, he's stoned from the guy. Rafael was stoned, man. It was really fun. Oh,
yeah,
man, great Those times. You know, we had some great times. We, our folks, our families would come out, like back in the day, like, you know, my parents would come, Rob's parents would come. They actually came to, Rob's parents came out to Europe, which was unbelievable.
They did.
Fun times,
they
man.
Did.
And then you got the chance yeah. to experience a lot of, I mean, that's one of the things that comes along with, you know, with 40 plus years, you know, doing it. There's like great,
well, I think
great
for
stuff.
All of us. At least in my case, it was really like button heads with my folks. You know, like I was playing music at a young age, like many of us, started yeah. bands in junior high and whatever. And it was like, oh, that's fun. You have a little band, play on the weekend.
Yeah, but
and,
when are you going to get serious?
Yeah, when are you going to get serious? Yeah. Get a, quote, real job. Yeah. And then, you know, go play. Well, and after, you know, after a while, it was kind of like, well, this is the real job. This is yeah. what I want to do. And it took a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember actually we were playing at Toad's Place, yeah. which is a great club in New Haven.
Great place.
And I grew up in Meriden, Connecticut. So this was about 30, 40 minutes from where I grew up. So
right.
it had some local ties, had some local friends coming. Yeah. And it had been a bit of a struggle with my dad. He was a great, great guy.
Amazing.
Loved him. Very supportive. But they, you know, they never quite got it until they came to Toads one night.
Yeah.
And then they saw the band, and they kind of like your dad. I don't know if they got.
Well, you know the story. When my dad came to Asbury Park and had the same thing happen on the beach.
Yeah.
Right?
And they see us being happy, and they see the crowd being happy, and they go, okay, maybe this is the path that they're choosing.
Rob, you were a biology major at Penn, right? I mean, did they want you to be a doctor? Was that the.
Absolutely. Of course they did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, but then Rob, you wrote time after time, that's not bad.
That was a lot later, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, there was a lot that had happened by the time then. Yeah. But yeah, they had different aspirations, I had some bio courses, but you know, I met Rick Chertoff in a biology lab. Quick story: we were dissecting a frog. We were in there looking at each other, and I'm dying to meet musicians. And honestly, I came to Philly. I didn't know anybody. And I felt really kind of terrified, to be honest.
Wow.
And Rick was the first one that I met who was like-minded. And we're literally like, I think we were lab partners, cutting apart a frog. And we're like,
wow.
We go listen to records in my room. And we're like, yeah, you like John Mayall? Yeah, you like Taj Mahal? Yeah. Yeah, you know, you like British blues?
Wow.
Clapton, next thing you know, we dodged the lab. We started listening to records, and we never stopped.
Yeah. Did you guys go to the Quaker City Music Festival together? Did you go? Was that Rick and you?
You know what?
I think you did.
Good question. I went. Good question.
The Allman Brothers played. I think you.
I went because I saw I saw Janis Joplin, Moby Grape, Chambers Brothers, but I forget who else was there.
Wasn't it the Allman Brothers didn't show up or something like that?
No, that was later.
Oh, okay.
That was in Villanova. Yeah, that was another classic show. Spirit. The Allman Brothers were supposed to open for Spirit.
Yeah.
We went out to Villanova, which was
those
like
were the days.
To, you know, the moon. From West Philly, we didn't even know where Villanova was. I don't know how we got there.
Yeah.
We probably hitchhiked.
Right.
And we went to see the Allman Brothers' first album had just come out. We were just blues freaks. We, blues rock, whatever. And that album just was incredible.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah.
And they were opening for Spirit. And we went just to see them. We like Spirit, but, you know, we want to see the Allman Brothers. We go, I think it was snowing.
Yeah.
And we get there and they said, we have an announcement to make. Spirit is canceled. They couldn't make it. So the Allman Brothers are going to play extra. And we're like, okay. They played for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours as they could. They did Mountain Jam and all these things. And we were just, that was life-changing. It was like we saw them just out of the box, hot as could be.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, thank God Spirit didn't show up.
Yeah. Well, that's where you got, because we do 3-hour sets now, and that's where it rubbed off on Rob. Right. We're going to play three.
Well, you know what? You kind of push it. If the fans are into it,
it's
funny you say that, because our promoter in Germany is always like, guys, keep it down. You know, the sets are too long. Why don't you make it a little shorter? But I don't know. We get out there, we're playing for the fans. Like Eric says, nobody's walking out.
No,
you know?
So, no.
They don't want their money back. And we came to play sometimes a long ways, many miles. You live for that show. The rest of the day can be hard work, really.
Sure.
Last time I saw you guys at the Keswick, it was probably about 2:45, closer to 3.
Yeah.
And it was too short. There were songs you guys didn't play that I wanted to hear.
It's fine. Well, it does pass by.
Springsteen is setting the bar, and I think it becomes a marathon. And it's not just about how long you can play. I mean, the Dead and Fish and the jam bands, of course, they're going to go on and on. It's just, if you're having fun and the crowd's there, they spent their money, they traveled, they did whatever they could to get there. Like, just give them their money's worth. Just do it.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to hit on, because I can't believe we're almost running out of time.
It's amazing.
If you guys don't mind,
let's do a series with Rob.
Let's just stay on for like 5. Tail, can we stay on for like 6 hours today? I want to touch on Largo, because one of our fans had mentioned that on social media, and it's a great project. It still has life all these years later, and that it might come to the stage.
Yeah.
Roger Daltrey was a huge fan of it.
Yeah, he literally came up to, Rob saw him, met him, because he was doing a couple shows, but I did a rock camp thing, and he came up to me because David Fishoff said, he played on, because he was doing Freedom Ride, and he came over and he said, you played on that? I said, yeah, and I said, I love that song. I mean, when Roger Daltrey tells you, it's like, It's like a rock god. He loves that song. It's like, wow, it moves you.
Yeah. Rob, just give, because some people might not be familiar with it at all, just give people a little bit. This is a 1998 project with you and Rick Chertoff and Eric and worked on with a bunch of guest musicians, including Taj Mahal, who you mentioned. Give a little bit of the backstory for Largo, just for people who might not be familiar with it.
It's a tricky one to summarize quickly. I'll try. It's really a concept album. It kind of started out as a Hooters album in a way, and then it morphed to something more. That's why it's called Largo, and it takes a theme that everyone knows. It's from this New World Symphony. It's a very common song. In fact, Yo-Yo Ma just played it at the Biden inauguration on the cello, and they played
really?
At funerals and events. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
You've heard it. Wow. And we took the theme, and then we did some research, and it turns out he was a European composer, came to this country to write what became the New World Symphony. Dvorak was his name, mm-hmm. from Czechoslovakia, and he was looking for, you know, Europe has this great classical tradition, mm-hmm. Beethoven and Bach and Brahms and Mozart, you know, mm-hmm. that's their music.
Sibelius.
He came here and was like, what's the classic music of America? And this was around 1900, and they brought him over, and there really wasn't any classic music. There was indigenous music. There was blues. There mm-hmm. was Native American chants. There were plantation songs. You know, there were really immigrant songs. The immigrants brought their music over, and that was the roots of, you know, I guess the blues and then jazz and then ultimately rock and roll and everything else that followed. So he took these Steal Away and Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and all these kind of and even again some Native American stuff and put it into this symphony. So if you listen to New World Symphony, this being the New World, it just was a spark, and we thought, wow, you know, that's kind of what we've been doing in our lives. We've grown up with the blues and rock, and even in the band, we've explored a lot of different instruments, different sounds, different cultures, especially starting to tour and travel and go to different countries. So in a nutshell, we wrote a bunch of songs. There's some recurring characters. There's kind of a theme. It's hard to summarize, but Davey's on, actually a lot of the guys, in the band played on it. Eric was involved and Rick, another writer, David Foreman.
He's brilliant.
We got a wish list of people. We got Levon and Garth from the band. And the other thing about it was we did these road trips. We went up to record these. Not only did we want to record them, but we wanted to do it as part of an adventure. So we went up to
the
Woodstock.
Chieftains, right.
Garth and Levon, the Chieftains. We went to Nashville and saw them at Lauren. Right. Grand Ole Opry, and they were like, "Yeah, let's play." Everybody wanted to be in on it. Jones on it.
Yeah,
Cindy's on
Carole
it.
King.
Carole King. Yeah. Is on a song. So it was kind of this all-star extravaganza. Yeah. And the album didn't get the attention because it was a little hard to market and just get out there. Because what's Largo? You know, what is it?
Yeah.
But now it's being developed and still over many, many years, kind of as a theatrical project. Yeah. So our fingers are crossed. It might hit the stage. It is a theatrical kind of record. But if you get a chance, check it out. Little Feet covered Gimme a Stone.
Yeah. Richie Hayward sang it.
Richie Hayward's only lead vocalist.
Paul Barrera was on our podcast, and we talked about that. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, David plays an awesome drum, especially the song A Freedom Ride. It's got some tricky rhythms.
Yeah.
Davey nailed it. And Roger Daltrey covered a couple things. So it has its fans, and it's available. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify.
Can we play a little bit?
We can play let's hear a little bit of Freedom Ride from Largo 1998. This is Taj Mahal on lead vocals.
Bound.
gosh, man. Oh, my God. I mean,
Dave was telling a story, Rob, before you came on about you guys doing some of this on Letterman and how much Will Lee and Anton Figg loved what they heard. Yeah, yes. Loved the band you guys had put together.
Well, what about, Joan and Taj singing together and Garth was playing accordion. And Rob was playing amazing.
It was a real high point. Yeah, we had high hopes for it. You know what? It's a great project. Not everything sees the light of day, but it's right in there.
Hey, it still may have its day. I think it's great.
As Rob said, the fact that it's out there, it's still out there.
Drew on a lot of different things, but just to work with the guys in the band, Taj, Chieftains, those were idols for me. Mm. Taj was one. I idolize that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, I'll tell you, it's
well, we have a few more minutes. If Rob can hang, we can go like another 10 minutes. Can you hang for another 10 minutes?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we talk about another couple of huge albums that Rob contributed to. We'll end with Cindy, but let's talk about Joan Osborne's album, Relish, Joan's major label debut.
Yeah.
With obviously everybody knows One of Us, Eric writing One of Us.
Yep.
But Rob, you play drums on One of Us? Is that correct?
amazing performance. It's an amazing performance, Rob.
I like the way you ask that.
Well, I mean,
but people don't know. It's funny because Rob really is a great drummer. I mean, Rob's played keys. And one thing I noticed about Rob as a keyboard player, his left hand is it's like Frazier, you know? I'm serious. We don't need a bass player when you got Rob with his left hand. He was bass player playing with the keys, but you...
Well, how did that end up happening? How did you end up playing drums on that song, Rob?
We actually recording that album was a great experience. Speaking of the band, like they had Big Pink. We had, I think it was Big Blue. I think it was Blue. It was a house up in Northern New York that Rick Chernoff had found in Bill Whitman, and they wanted to make it one of those projects, like build a studio in a house, everybody live there and just camp out during the winter. It was over a reservoir. It was actually beautiful, frozen tundra kind of scene. We just camped out, and we set up gear in the living room. Joan was singing like on a porch. We put a bass amp. Mark Egan, a great bass player from Pat Metheny, among other things. His bass rig was in the basement, trying to get isolation. I brought a Hammond and some equipment. Anyway, we did it in a house. And so we would just live there and hang there and jam all night and sleep in the morning, wake up and start cutting again. It was really a great experience and a real tribute, especially to Bill Whitman, who engineered it, because
B's amazing.
Until they mixed it, we didn't really have a great way to monitor it. We had some speakers and we could hear what was going on, but until we went into a quote real studio to mix it, which was Pi Studios in Long Island, we didn't even know what we had. And when that record came out, to this day, it's funny, I just heard Right Hand Man the other day.
Yeah, amazing record.
It's a great sounding record. And when you listen, just imagine that it's a band in a house, recording, because you kind of get that vibe.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had One of Us. Eric wrote this. It was a killer song. We knew, in this case, we really knew we had something. Certainly Rick did. And we must have cut it at least half a dozen times. And we just kind of weren't getting it. It's you look back and you wonder how these things get done or not. But for some reason, it just wasn't exactly right. And one day we're sitting in the living room. Andy Kravitz was the drummer on everything else. And he was not around. And there was a drum set. Eric was playing guitar. Mark Egan was playing bass. And I just sat at the drums. And now you got to understand, I'm like an idiot savant on the drums.
He's really great.
The emphasis on the first word. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but it's damn good. Backwards. It's great.
I play left-handed. Yeah. I hit the
There's that left hand.
I don't know. I've always been messing around with the drums, but I'm really not a drummer. But for some reason, Eric started playing and Mark and I sat down and Bill was there and Bill said, hey, let's record this. And I've never been more nervous in my life because I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, it sounds good. Let's just put one down. So at first it was kind of like not a joke, but it was like, all right, it was a lark. Let's say.
Yeah.
I started playing. And as it went on, I was starting to really sweat and don't stop.
Right.
It was literally one take. Honestly, you hear the record, it was one take. And if you put that those drums on a grid, you know what I'm talking about.
But Rob, you hear that when you hear that there's like, because I teach and I have people play to that, and it's just a great musical swing, and you know, and there's a moment where you come out, I think out of the solo or the bridge, where you kind of, it's like a Beatle moment, a Ringo moment, where it's just kind of stop. It's a beautiful. It really is.
David just compared you as a drummer, Rob, to Ringo Starr.
Yeah, but it's true.
All I can say is I'm not worthy.
Well, but you played this beautiful musical piece.
It really was one take. Yeah. And there's a middle section. Eric does this incredible guitar solo.
Incredible.
Then she comes back and goes, God is great. You know, there's that little breakdown.
Yeah.
So I stopped and I was really, my palms were sweating.
Yeah.
And you can hear it stop.
Yeah.
And I almost just stopped. Thought like,
so
okay, guys,
glad you didn't.
I'm done. And then it comes back.
Yeah.
There's a drum fill out of there that to me is still like the stupidest drum fill ever.
That's great.
But, you know, hey, it worked. Bill was very encouraging. We finished, and the guys were like, okay. And then, honestly, we had all the tracks at the end.
Yeah.
We just kind of played them all and voted. And it was kind of democratic, and people said, hey, we like this one. So, kudos to Rick, obviously, and Bill for spurring it. But also, I'm playing with Eric on guitar, Mark Egan on bass, who is a monster, one of the best bass players on
ever.
The planet.
Yes.
And Eric. So, and here I am, just kind of, you know.
You were great.
Okay. You know, trying to kind of catch a groove with Mark and be a rhythm section. So those guys they really made the record. I mean, the
very
guitar
good.
Work is brilliant. So it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good lesson. You know, get out of get outside the box and your comfort zone. Try something different.
Yeah.
You know, I always dabbled. I love it. Like Davey, Davey does this for hours on a night. I mean, I played 3 minutes and I was done. I couldn't play anymore.
Right. Between the Hooters and In the Pocket. Yeah. Dave does these 3 hour shows.
Drumming is hard.
Yeah.
Drumming is hard work. I got it easy. I play some keyboard and jump around. But you know what? Drumming is your two arms, two legs, your body. It's physical. Mm. God knows, and it really, to drive this band for hours and hours, or In the Pocket, or any of his gigs.
Yeah. Well, Rob, what was your first?
100%.
I got to ask Rob this, because we asked Eric the same question. What was your first impression of Dave when you came out and you met him? I mean,
you know what? I have a very clear impression. We were looking for drummers.
Yeah,
I. David, was it at the? I want to say it was at the library. I don't know.
No, it was at Anchorage.
Or Anchorage,
Yeah.
We go in. I guess we'd heard about Davey and the band and, you know, Torpedoes. I forget how it happened, but we went in to see Davey. Yeah. And I have two very vivid recollections. And, you know, it's been a while, but one was the yellow Gretsch drums, which was a mainstay for a while.
Yeah.
And then Davey looked like he was 13.
I don't look 13 anymore.
We were in our late 20s.
Yeah.
You know, but he looked like a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's up there. He just, that's all I remember, is like, he just looked so young.
Yeah.
And he's banging away the drums and was like, let's try this. And then, you know, the rest really was his.
But then we recorded,
and
you know.
Really, the first version of the band, we did stuff as a trio. We did some demos, just guitar, bass, drums. And, you know, I was a big, you know, kind of Doors fan, the organ and Light My Fire. And he played a left hand bass. You know, some of their stuff was keyboard bass.
Right.
So, you know, we just did stuff as a trio, and Eric's a great bass player as well.
Yeah.
And it started. And then obviously we got Kuzma and Bobby Woods to make it a full sound. But he just looked like a little kid up there banging away. And
here you are.
Still him.
And more than 40. At heart, Dave is still a kid. But,
hey, Rob, you know, it's funny.
That
session, I was just thinking about the other day, because we recorded every time we did the Searcher song, Every Time You Walk in the Room. Do you remember we recorded that?
And we did Badfinger.
We did Badfinger, and we did Please Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
Yes.
There's one other tune. I forget which one we did, but I think I have it somewhere. But boy, I remember we went in there and John Senior was recording us. We had the two track it's a really great recording. It's really, really one of those things.
Man in the Street was alive. Yeah. That was a think one take. I think it was take one, and yeah. that became a great vibe. And
yeah.
I mean, the thing about Dave and just in general with bands is, you know, you we played with a lot of drummers. We played with fantastic drummers.
Yes,
Davey
you have.
Grant. We played with Rick Marotta. Right. Top.
Yeah.
But it's about communication and connection in any band, and definitely enthusiasm, which Davey's got in spades forever. Mm. You know, it's like, are you into it? And how does it feel? And how does everyone just react? It's one of those visceral things. You yeah. get a vibe kind yeah. of right away. And it's not just about technique. Yeah. I mean, you got to be good.
Yeah.
But then there's this other element
True.
That's even more important. And that's the chemistry. You know, yeah. just how do we connect and how's it sound? So, you know, Davey's
so
energy
important.
was it's, yeah, it's everything. It yeah. really is.
Well, I experience it doing this podcast with him. He's like a kid. I mean, with all our guests, his enthusiasm. Yeah. It's not a put on. It's not an act. It is real and sincere. Yeah. And
that's sweet of you to say.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, it's
we have a good time.
Sure.
For a guy like, you know, same for you, Rob, who has experienced yeah. the highs that you guys have, you know, playing Live Aid, you know, being
it
huge.
Doesn't get old.
You know, and the success that you had, and yet you're still real people. Yeah. And yeah. you know, that's one of the things I yeah. love working with Dave with this podcast.
Well, hey, the hardest thing for us right now, I think, is the fact that we haven't been able to do what we do for so we've all had to go and do things, you know, how do we channel our enthusiasm and our energy to positive things? There's a lot of people I found that have had negative situations because they, you know, a lot of people falling, you know, like, you know, but here, like, you know, you have an opportunity to learn some things, do some new things, spend time in your studio, yeah. record. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, like Rob, you know, how do we make the most of this time? You know, how do we grow?
Well, I think everyone's done that this past year. Yeah. This is going to go down. Who knows how much longer, but let's say a year.
Yeah.
You know, plus a few months. But this will be a pivotal year for everyone on the planet. You know,
yes.
young and old, kids, wherever you are in life. This has just upset, you know, the whole, your
apple
whole
cart.
Thing, your whole world.
Yeah.
And I think creatively, you know, we've seen people do amazing things.
Yep.
You know, I've kind of been looking at it my own personal way. I've been doing some writing. I've learned more Pro Tools, how to work on the
yep.
cloud, and, you know, mm-hmm. some technical stuff, been reading, been listening to music. But and then sometimes you're just not inspired. You know, it's just sometimes it's just hard. And
yeah.
And for a band like ours, if you look at that video and you anybody that knows us, it's about getting out there on stage. You know, the records were awesome and wonderful, but it was always about, okay, we have a record, let's go play it. And yeah. and what's going to fit in the show, and how, you know, how can we communicate with the people? And there was just this energy, and that's what's so hard. We can stream it, and you know, people are trying and doing amazing things, but there's just not a substitute for getting into a club, no. being with friends. It's like going to a movie. Yeah, you can watch it at home, but it's not the same as being in a theater, especially for music, though.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to feel that energy. You want to be in the same room as the players and just feel that communal spirit. It'll come back, but it's been very difficult.
I'm sure.
It's been hard.
Yeah, sure. Hey, we only have about 3 minutes left, but we have to touch
sure.
on this. Taylor, just put Time After Time on in the background. We'll keep talking because this is a song, Rob, obviously, that is
one of the greatest.
One of the
greatest
song. It is literally one of the greatest pop songs, one of the greatest love songs ever written.
Miles,
that is not
Miles
an,
Davis
it is not,
covered.
It is not an
I
exaggeration.
Mean, it's amazing.
You and Eric were working on She's So Unusual, and Rick Chertoff, I guess, came to you and Cindy and said, "Hey, we need one more song or another song, right?" And then you,
that's
and,
right.
and then you and Cindy sat down at the piano and wrote this song that has become a literal classic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Rob,
not. It's
now
not
this didn't take 5 minutes, did it?
it didn't take 5 minutes, but it
was.
Just
it came quick
here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were at the end of the really literally at the end of the sessions, and they yeah. had been some long, you know, grueling months putting the record together. It was a hard record to make. Everyone had strong opinions, especially Cindy.
You think?
and still.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all of us were. Yeah, we were just talking about it with somebody the other day, and it's just there were so many elements that came together. But Rick said, "Hey, we could use one more." At which point, we were ready to kill ourselves because it was,
right.
you know, Rick, I don't know if we can do one more. But Cindy and I, yeah, we stayed in the studio. Like everyone went out to dinner, we sat at a piano and pretty much put it together.
Wow.
And the other story about it is, it was written kind of quickly, but also there was no demo. I mean, we spent months on Girls Just Want to Have Fun and All Through the Night and Money Changes Everything. You know, so many of those songs were worked and reworked over and over. Time was, we didn't have time, you know, pun intended. It was like, okay, here's a song. We went right to the multi-track. So that recording is kind of the demo, which was another huge lesson. And Cindy's vocal, if not the first take, it was one of the first takes.
Yeah, we got
it. It's just pretty. So the recording itself is part of the thing for me. It was very open and kind of not raw, but very basic. You know, it wasn't like picked over. And Eric's guitars are amazing. I did a simple keyboard. They added a little drum thing, and it was done. I mean, it was not agonized over. Some of the other stuff, again, took weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
This one was really quick from beginning to end. And that's another lesson. When they can come quick, go for it.
Did you know, Rob, did you know, Rob, that you guys had nailed it?
You know, I tell people when that record was done, I just remember talking to Rick and saying, who's going to play this album?
Yeah.
This is the weirdest album I've ever heard.
Wow.
You have a punk rock song, Money Changes Everything, which opens the record. You have a Prince cover. Yeah. You have Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is this crazy reggae 50s-ish doo-wop slash, you know, whatever, dance thing. You have Time. You have a couple ballads. It was, to me, it was all over the place.
Plus, you had a song about masturbation. Song about masturbation.
And you had Sheba.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I don't know where this record even fits. Like, we did love the recording. We loved Time. We had a good feeling. No, I had no idea with the album in general.
Massive.
Would turn on, would turn out the way it did. She had 4 top 5 hits. You know, it went to the Grammys. She was Best New Artist. It was really just a roller coaster ride.
We've had so many people from this record on our show.
That's everyone that played on it. You know, again, we butted some heads. Eric came in with the guitars. I had my ideas. Rick was kind of the Zen guru producer sitting in the corner just taking it in, but then making his opinions known. Cindy, she is just, she's Cindy. You can't deny it. And then Bill Whitman and John Enyel, the engineers, did an amazing job. The recording.
Both of whom have been on you.
Yeah, just sonically, you know, every song sounded different and was different. So
people,
it was a real testament to the team.
Well, and the album, and of course that song will hold up time after time. I mean, it's eternal. Yeah, that's Hey, I hate to be short here, Rob, but we're right up against it, so we're going to have to let you go. This has been
great.
What
a pleasure, Rob.
This has been waiting 82 episodes. The wait was absolutely worth it to have Rob on the show because he was fabulous.
Totally. Yeah. It was a real joy for us to have you on, Rob. It was a real pleasure.
Well, thanks. Keep up the great work you're doing.
We will.
Shout out to the bandmates.
Hey.
Fran and John and Tommy, Eric again. You know, there's no band without the whole group.
You got it. You know it.
Especially our crew guys.
Oh, my God.
Our crew in Germany. We have so many people. Behind the scenes to make the shows happen. So thanks, guys.
Yep.
And everybody stay well, mask up, do what you got to do. Let's beat this thing, okay? Let's get back out on the road.
You got it, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. You're the best,
man.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Hootersmusic.com. You can catch everything, all the pictures and the archives that Rob's been posting. Hey, this was
terrific.
This was incredible.
It was really great.
Thank you very much to Croker Percussion. Thank you to School of Rock Mainline. Thank you to Taylor and Wildfire Radio. Thank you to the great Rob Hyman. For Dave, I'm Andy, and we'll see you next time on In the Pocket.
All righty.